next thing to move towards is rapture. So tell me about rapture, Duncan.
Things start to get interesting at rapture. In gladness, there was a sense of something nice, something positive arising internally. You know, we're starting to feel good about things. Better, yeah. What can happen at rapture is this gets projected outside onto reality. You know, if we're feeling good inside, then suddenly reality, the external world, starts to look better.
Yeah.
And this can lead to entering into more extreme ecstatic states.
Okay. Like the mystical states, the awakening states, or is it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Suddenly, it seems like reality is echoing back at us, that positivity that we started to feel inside.
So it's like peak experience of something.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah.
So it's moved from gladness, but it's still, we're still not talking as something that's lasting though. It's peak. It's like it has a curve to the top and then back down. It's not something that has changed the entire world forever again, or is it? Or what's your thoughts there?
Yeah. No, it's exactly as you said. It's something that's passing, that's temporary. I mean, I remember we had quite a struggle with this one, didn't we? Getting to the final image.
There was a couple of versions, and even there was a couple of versions of this, even the final one where we moved in and out, even changed hair colours and stuff like that. But I kind of... moving the camera, I suppose, or the image in towards the images of a woman kind of dancing ecstatically, but there's tears, there's a lot going on. But I moved it in quite close and had her in shadow because I like the idea of it kind of, these kings can feel not claustrophobic, but quite close. You know what I mean? And it can kind of, the externalization can kind of move away a bit. And so even though it is a reflection of the world, kind of in a sense, they can feel, I don't know, like it's happening to you, you know, like again, you're the center of it rather than feeling one with the entire thing.
Yeah.
But it's trying to capture that emotion of both being ecstasy, but there's not this necessarily that it's crying out of, say, a sorrow or something like that, but it's almost like it's too much, you know, it's overload.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah. Just trying to capture these moments like of the peak experience moments that you have, you know, they're hard to describe, you know, but I mean, they're very tangible. Like you know what they are when you have them, if you want, but it's like then trying to describe someone else. So I think that was the problem with the image, was trying to capture that almost. Well, how do you capture peak experience, you know, really, like in an image?
Well, I think you've done a good job, because when I look at that image, you can't tell whether she's happy. You can't tell whether she's in pain. You can't tell whether those are tears of joy or of devastation. And what you've got there, in effect, is an image of just intense emotion, an intense emotional reaction to something.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about rapture is it's necessary. It's a necessary step. It's here in the Transcendental Madonna's. You know, it's something that is required in that journey from suffering to wisdom. What rapture does is it engages us very deeply, very intimately with the nature of reality itself. You know, this is about ecstasy. And in moments of ecstasy, the inside and the outside, we can't tell the difference. We're just wrapped up in this kind of whirlwind of sensation and experience. But what that's going to do is it's going to enable us to focus very closely on experience.
Yes,
why rapture is important. I mean, in meditation practice, you know, to get really in there, you need to enjoy it. You need to be swept up by it.
Yeah. You have to get lost in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's happening here is, you know, the door into experience, into reality itself is starting to open, and it's rapture that enables us to step through that door.
Yeah. It's like saying that there, like, from gladness, from fake gladness into rapture, is that you're starting to see the bigger picture, maybe, in a way. And then the realization of that. It's like, oh, shit, I didn't realize that this was it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's why all the overwhelming and the spooky and the mystical stuff comes in here, because the boundaries between self and other are getting opened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're melting into reality. We're having that ecstatic experience. It's drawing us in, seducing us in. As that sense of subject and object falls away, you know, that can lead to certain types of unusual experience.
So in a divination, would this represent, doesn't necessarily, I suppose, have to represent a spiritual peak experience, but it's just some sort of heightened, intense moment. Yeah,
heightened, intense moment, you know, possibly unusual.
Right, bit of woo, bit of the weird, an intense joy in being. So I suppose in a divination, that would mean that this experience or the problem or whatever is the question you're asking is really going to focus on, you're really in it. This is really happening, you know, this is a thing.
Yeah.
This is largely going to depend on the question, isn't it, this card?
It is, yeah. If it came up in a divination, it would suggest an opening to something unexpected, experience.
Or I suppose if something, just trying to think of the question to be asked in divination, if something was being concealed or you didn't have the truth about the situation, this would suggest that you're about to understand the situation from a bigger point of view or something like that, or see the wider view of things.
Yeah, and possibly in an overwhelming way.
Right, maybe you don't want to know the truth. Yeah. Why is my husband being distant? Well, turns out he's not so much into you anymore. And then from a reverse point of view, it's all the bad things that go with that. I suppose it's the false enlightenment. What else have we here? Chasing spiritual states for the sake of sensation. So becoming a bliss junkie, looking for that, state chasing. Rather than getting caught. It's that, warning that Patanjali talks about, where he says, you know, don't chase the cities. If they come up, that's fine. But that's not the goal. And you can get lost there. You can, you know, you can spend a lifetime.
Yeah, the danger with rapture is just trying to attempt to stay there. Mm. Understandable. But, you know, in the tarot, probably an equivalent at this point would be the devil card.
Oh, right. Okay.
The danger of these experiences solidifying into something that ends up imprisoning us.
Yes. If you get caught up in it.
Or
you see it as the end rather than just a part of the process.
Yeah. And in again, using a tarot analogy, you know, the positive side of rapture is something more like the tower, maybe, you know, that pull from the blue.
Yes. Okay.
Blows everything up.
Yeah. When I was putting up this picture or the stuff on Patreon, people had a good laugh at happy clappy, because it doesn't seem to be a phrase that has traveled across the waters. So what's happy clappy mean, Dunk?
Well, it's happy clappy is an engagement with spirituality that's all about the kind of enjoyment side of things, that sort of sentimental, you know, overly positive
side
of things.
Almost be more interested in the performative or how you're seen, in a way, too, like to be seen to be enjoying it rather than actually enjoying it.
It's always the Hare Krishnas that come to mind.
Exactly that.
They're having a damn good time, aren't they, when they're dancing street, but if that was all that there was to their practice, then that's what I would maybe describe as, you know, verging on the happy clappy.
So all performance, no substance.
You would hope, you know, that they're doing other stuff apart from just dancing around.
Well, yeah, eating good food, that's the other thing. Okay, so then moving from rapture, we move into Tranquility.